Hi, this is Gabriella, and you're listening to the GIST podcast. For today's podcast, we're going to be talking about when we attended the TEDx University of Glasgow conference on Sunday the 4th of March. The GIST were invited to attend the conference that some of the students of Glasgow Uni organise every year. It's a really impressive event, and there's a big team that work behind the scenes organising it. We were actually one of the partners of the event this year, and if you attended, you might have been given one of our magazines as you left. If you got home and put it to one side without having a real look, go and get it now. There are some really cool articles in there. And if you like what you see, we've got a new one on the works, so be on the lookout. The conference itself was held in the Kelvin Gallery in the main building of the university. It's a really beautiful part of the building, with high wooden ceilings. And if you've ever been in the Hunterian Museum, it's basically a mirror of that, minus the dinosaur skeletons. We had a full schedule of speakers to listen to. All of them had to base their talks around the theme of one step further. As you can imagine, that leaves a lot of room for interpretation, and it's definitely reflected in the collection of speakers and their backgrounds. They range from life coaching and applied psychology, to female engineering organisations, right through to climate change. We got to sit down with a few of the speakers in between sessions. It was a busy event, so there were a lot of people there, and there's a bit of background noise, so apologies for that. You'll be listening to our interviewer Richard Murchie with each of the speakers. The first speaker we met was Paul McCarthy, a lecturer and researcher in psychology at Glasgow Caledonian University. His research investigates the problems within positive psychology and sports psychology, and he also works with touring professional golfers at St Andrew's Links Gold Academy. We spoke to him after his talk.
Can you just tell us a bit what you do?
Yeah, so I am a chartered sport and exercise psychologist, and I lecture, I research, and I work in private practice with amateur and professional athletes. And I see those athletes across the course of the season in various sports, from golf to football to athletics and so on.
Tutoring them almost in some way, sorry, helping them along.
Yeah, that's right. So the private practice work really is about figuring out where it is they want to go and helping them to get there. So most of the work with professional athletes would be long-term, partly because it's the nature of the season or maybe a quadrennial cycle for the Olympics, that type of work.
Could you summarise your TED Talk in a few sentences?
So the TED Talk was about succeeding after failing and maintaining a level of motivation for where it is we would like to go. So most people encounter failure but have no strategy for overcoming that failure.
Yeah.
So our work really is to try and help them to take a perspective, a better perspective, and be able to improve the future for where they want to go.
The themes used in TEDx conferences are chosen specifically for their ability to inspire a wide range of talks and provide a broad discussion of ideas afterwards. So we made a point to ask all of the speakers what the theme of this TEDx conference, One Step Further, meant to them. This is what it meant to Paul.
Yeah, so the interesting thing about sport is that sport is usually presented as further, more, faster, higher, stronger. Most of the people that I would work with have a belief that the future can be better and they can go in the direction that they would like to. The difficulty is always often understanding which direction they would like to go in and how they would how they get there.
We were going to collaborate with the University of Rwanda, and we were going to try and help them to see where they could use some of what FEMINT has done in the University of Glasgow, and could that be helpful for them? And hopefully, like,
this is Ellen Simmons.
What this turned into was 3 weeks spent in the capital city of Rwanda. We worked with a group of students, all female students from the College of Science and Technology in the University of Rwanda. And we also worked with 8 high school graduates from various high schools around Rwanda as well. And what we did was we split into groups. We made 8 different workshops demonstrating engineering concepts, anything from low-cost diagnostics to water control to renewable energy.
Ellen is a biomedical engineer and a founder of FEMENG, a society which aims to make engineering more accessible to young women. FEMENG have quickly become a prominent part of the university since forming in 2013, and recently their motivation took them to Rwanda, where they worked with secondary schools promoting science and engineering careers to young students. Here in Glasgow, they run socials for female engineering students and organise outreach events to local schools.
Thanks for coming up to speak to us. Tell us a little bit about what you do.
So I am in my last year of a Master's in Biomedical Engineering at the University of Glasgow. But I think the reason I'm here today is because I have, since I was in my, like the end of my first year, I've been running a lot of initiatives to try and promote engineering for women. So whether that's like helping students that are already here or sort of using students here to do outreach to school children. And that's what I'm going to talk about, and the efforts that I've done and the things I've learned about how to sort of achieve true gender diversity in engineering workplaces and why that's a good thing.
Could you try to summarise your today's talk in a few sentences?
So I'm approaching the idea that even though diversity is really important, especially in engineering, that there's a lot of ways that we're approaching it in a bad way, which is actually potentially not good for the engineers who are essentially benefiting from these initiatives. And I'm going to talk about the ways that I have sort of experienced and figured out that I think will really solve these problems and what we've done to try and address that.
You can find out more about FemEng's 2016 trip to Rwanda both on our website at thegist.org, that's the-gist.org, and on the Society's own website, femengrwanda.wordpress.com, where they've just launched their 2017 project to return to Rwanda. Next up, we spoke to Roland Cow. He's a professor of mathematical population diversity at the University of Glasgow. Roland actually started off in condensed matter physics, but moved over to epidemiology after his PhD. Today, his research focuses on using genetic and social data to study the transmission of TB through British cattle by badgers. In the past, he's even used his findings to inform the Scottish Government on livestock control. We sat down with him after he'd given his talk.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks for coming up to speak to us. Just can you tell us a little bit about what you do?
So the main thrust of the work I do has to do with population dynamics, particularly the population dynamics of infectious diseases, by which I mean is how does the disease spread through populations? And one of the tools I use are things like social network analysis, because they tell us about how individuals are connected together. But it's only one of a whole series of tools we use to understand these systems. So for example, we track the individual viruses and individual bacteria by looking at the mutational changes. What that allows you to do is to see how the networks actually influence the transmission of disease and how we can control it.
How could you sort of summarize your talk today in a few sentences?
I suppose the most important thing which I would like people to get out of that talk is that everything you do in context. Everything you do is about how you do it in the course of a population, because we're social animals. As social animals, it's the actions of the collective which are the things that matter to all of us. And I guess the other thing is that, you know, we sometimes think the individual doesn't matter. But when you look at how individuals' influence can influence vast numbers in the population, I would like to think it gives us hope as to how much we as individuals can influence others.
We also asked him how he'd used the theme of this TEDx conference one step further to inspire his talk.
Yeah, that's a hard one, isn't it? So, one step further. I suppose it's very similar to, I guess, to what I was saying before, which is that if we want to understand how to do things, how to change the way we think, we need to look beyond just the friends that we have, the ones who agree with us all the time. We need to look at the people who disagree with us. Not because we're going to suddenly become Republicans if we're Democrats, or evangelists if we're atheists, but because we need to understand that just because somebody disagrees with us, they're not idiots. They might be, but they aren't necessarily. And that's it.
We'll get right back to our next interview in just a moment. One of the other features of the event were a variety of different stalls scattered about the hall during the breaks that everyone could go and have a look at. We went over and had a chat with them to see what they were here to talk about.
We are Room Glasgow. It's a virtual reality gaming arcade, the first one in Scotland and the cheapest one in the UK. We offer virtual reality experiences For example, the lab is our common one, or guided meditation VR. We also have a contract with Raw Data, which is sort of like robot and drones attacking you and you try to shoot them, and you can also pull a sword. We're currently still developing our library. Yeah, it's room scale virtual reality, which means that you can actually move within the room, unlike 360 degrees virtual reality, which a lot of people are familiar with, which is sort of like an all-around video.
So we're from JP Morgan. We're here sponsoring TEDx at University of Glasgow because we love TEDx. We're here with our stand talking about our technology offering. We've got a big office in Glasgow with 1,500 developers. So we're here trying to recruit as many Java, Python, SQL developers as we can. But we're also talking about all of our offerings for other STEM subject students, talking about our Tech Connect program, so you get a 4 to 6 week boot camp to learn programming before you join the normal grad program, so that we can get people from a STEM background into computing science at JP Morgan.
Okay, now let's get back to our interviews. Our next interview was with John Lindberg, a technology officer for Weinberg Next Nuclear, a charity that works to promote advanced nuclear energy. He's worked as a policy advisor in the Scottish Parliament, spent time in both Westminster and the European Parliament, and was the UK representative and Secretary General of the Young European Council's Energy and Climate Action Committee. John has a degree in political science from the University of Glasgow and is currently studying for his MA in climate change at King's College London. Let's go to our interview with him now.
Thanks for coming up to speak to us. Can you just tell us a little bit about what it is you do?
I work for an organisation called Weinberg Next Nuclear. We're working on trying to promote nuclear power around the world. I'm also a fellow at Environmental Progress, which is an American organisation working on making the planet more sustainable through the use of nuclear power.
Could you summarise your TED Talk today in a few sentences?
Of course. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to challenge the preconceptions around nuclear accidents, nuclear waste and nuclear weapons, highlighting that these are not real issues. It's more to do with our fear of radiation, because the accidents have not killed as many as we want to believe, the waste isn't as dangerous as a thing, and nuclear weapons and nuclear reactors is not a legit connection. I'm also trying to highlight the notion that without using nuclear power, we stand virtually no chance of either decarbonising our energy system, and also we're failing in making a more sustainable, truly sustainable world generally.
All right. How would TEDx's theme, One Step Further, relate to your talk?
I mean, for me, I think my entire speech revolves around the theme in a sense that we need to not only to challenge our preconceptions about nuclear, but we need to take a step further and dare to start building nuclear power, not just around the West, but really the rest of the world as well. And I think that's how the theme fits in.
So you can bring a litre of tequila into the UK, 20 kilos of shark fin. It just doesn't make any sense. It's something we definitely had to address.
Our next speaker was someone that quite a few of us were excited to meet. If you watched a lot of nature documentaries growing up, there's a high chance you'll recognise the voice of Steve Backshall, master of dangerous animals for organisations such as National Geographic and the BBC. Anyone remember The Really Wild Show?
I'd like you to look at this image and see not a potential man-eater, not a terrifying, malicious man-eating monster, but instead a pregnant mother. See a female that will have to get to be older than we do as human beings before it reaches sexual maturity. A female who will carry that youngster for longer than a human mother will carry, who might travel thousands of miles to get to safe seas to give birth to its young. An animal that is listed as the least vulnerable in some parts of its range as critically endangered, that is less dangerous to us as human beings than a honeybee, than a labrador, than a Phrygian cow, or than a prawn. I want you to see this as an animal that's been around on our planet, or its kind has been around on our planet, hundreds of millions of years, and yet could disappear in our lifetimes unless we do something about it.
Steve is definitely something of a thrill seeker. He's faced off with Komodo dragons and snakes, drank blood with tribes, and been closer to sharks than a lot of the rest of us might be comfortable with. It's easy to see where the theme of One Step Further has been key to getting through some of Steve's experiences, whether that be one more step into a solo trek across the Iranian Gyre, or the last mile in a 60-mile run with the Israeli Special Forces. We sat down with Steve after he delivered his talk.
Thanks for coming up to speak to us. Can you just tell us a little bit about what you do?
So my name's Steve Backshall. I am a naturalist and television presenter, and I've been doing this now for about 18 years. So I first started off with the National Geographic. I was their adventurer in residence, which is the best job title I've ever had in my life. And I then graduated to working with the BBC, making lots of expedition programs, so going out and trying to discover new species of animals and going to places that people haven't been to before. And now I guess I'm probably best known for working with so-called deadly animals, that is mostly predators, things like, I guess, dragonflies and stoats and kestrels and animals that are deadly within their own world.
Could you summarize your talk today in a few sentences?
So my talk today was called Shark Rebranding the Monster, and it's a lot to do with my own personal experience of working with sharks over the last 18 or so years, which had shown me that these animals so rarely target us as human beings. I've been in the water with hundreds of sharks at one time in a so-called shark feeding frenzy, when we're, I guess, taught that they are out to get you and just lunging around at anything that moves, and yet emerged unscathed every time, as has every single member of my crew. I've been in the water alongside bull sharks, tigers, great hammerheads, oceanic white-tip sharks, and even great white sharks, and never felt in any real danger. And I think that's the first part of a message, is really trying to convince people that sharks are not the mindless killers that they are sold from, made out to be. And the statistics absolutely bear that out. You know, around the world, since records began, there have been an average of 3.1 people a year killed by sharks. And in a planet of 7 billion, that is absolutely nothing. So, first and foremost, it's about convincing people that sharks are not the terrifying monsters we make them out to be. And then I try and flip it on its head and bring up a bit about the situation of shark conservation and how this is an animal that is at more threat from human activities than just about any other. And they are animals that we could lose from our seas unless we are very, very careful. So the end of my talk was suggesting a few ways that people could try and redress the balance, even redress the balance while they're sitting in their own home at their laptop.
Related to the TEDx theme of One Step Further, has that inspired anything about your talk, or does it relate at all?
I guess One Step Further is all about advancing. It's all about using ideas, using science, as a way of moving forward to a positive future. And that very much combines with what I believe about sharks and about shark conservation. I think it's incredibly important that we don't teach a message of doom and gloom that essentially leaves people paralyzed, leaves people feeling that they can't do anything. It's really important that people are empowered, that they feel they have the tools for change in their own hands. And I think just providing us a few simple ways that people can address a problem, so you're not just talking about it and then leaving people thinking, oh, well, that's pretty rubbish, but giving them a way that they can do something about it is really important.
Our final interviewee is Elizabeth Durth.
And the most important thing to start with and the foundation of this is that my idea of change is founded on the idea that today's young people are the most important stakeholder when it comes to working on planning, creating, designing, shaping the future. It is, after all, their future. It is their lives. It is our lives.
Elizabeth is the chair of the 2050 Climate Group and one of its founding members, having already been vice chair for 2 years. She spent 4 years working in sustainability and climate change for Keep Scotland Beautiful and the University of West Scotland, and is now completing an MSc in sustainable development, which focuses on climate governance. Here's our interview with her.
Thanks for coming on to this. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do?
Yeah, so I'm the chair of an organisation called the 2050 Climate Group, and we work to educate, engage and empower the next generation of leaders. And so we do this specifically by our Young Leaders Development Programme, which is essentially a training programme for young people between the ages of 20 and 30 to give them sort of leadership skills and other skills development, and also couple that with climate change education and knowledge and awareness. And we do this through a series of events, and essentially I was part of the founding team of this, and I also run this. And in addition to this program, we also do a range of sort of outreach and engagement activities with policymakers or businesses, or also the general public. So yeah, this is what I do.
If you can you summarize your talk today in a few sentences?
Yeah, so one of the key things that 2050 works on is this idea that climate change is not just the responsibility of people that are in the environment sector or work in climate change or sustainability. And part of the thing of our program is the program is actually for people that are not in climate change, it's for other sectors. And so I wanted to come here today, and instead of talking about climate change and doom and gloom about climate change, which a lot of people talk about or have already seen or heard, I wanted to put this into context within a broader idea of change that we're going through in society, and this idea that there's always constant change and there's always constant transition and transformation, and that this is climate change is and the low carbon transition is one aspect, or in, from what I do, a key aspect of this, and to talk about climate change within the context of our broader society change, and how we sort of think to move forward and think about the future, and how we think about engaging with the future within that context is really what I was trying to get across today. So,
how would the TEDx theme One Step Further relate, or was your talk inspired at all by?
Yeah, so initially when I started to work on what I was going to say, I thought at first that I would talk about leadership, because that's a core part of what we do, and also what I tend to talk about and do workshops on. But that's a very tricky topic, and for me, in the context of leadership, one step more meant one step more ambition or motivation or that kind of thing. And I thought that actually maybe to talk about leadership wasn't the most relatable thing for me to talk about in the context of today. And so I wanted one step more to be a little bit of a catchphrase for this idea of constant change, and this idea that we're always taking one step more. I think that was the last line of my talk. Infinitely we take one step more. This idea that we're always moving forward towards the future and progressing and changing, and that we need to work with that. And so for me, the idea of one step more is both a little bit about motivation and ambition, and also a little bit about embracing change and dynamism and working with that to move forward towards a future that we might aspire to.
And that's it for our interviews with the TEDx speakers. I hope you've enjoyed listening to our interviews with them. It really was a pleasure to be able to sit down and meet all of the speakers. So thanks very much to the organisers of TEDx University of Glasgow for having us. It really was a fun day, and looked like it was a hit with all of the other attendees. Thanks to the rest of the GIST team for helping to put this whole thing together. You should find videos of our interviews online soon, so head to thegist.org, that's the-gist.org, to find them and see more of what we do. We're going to be making podcasts more of a regular feature now, so if you have an idea for a podcast, or you want to be involved in making them, get in touch at podcasts@thegist.com. We're always looking for new people. Thanks so much for listening, guys. This has been Gabriella with the GIST podcast. You'll be hearing from us again soon.